Thank you, thank you. It is an honor to be here today in more ways than one. It has been quite the morning. But praise God, he saw this from the beginning of time, and he already had it planned out. I was sitting there thinking, sitting, standing, whatever I was doing, I don't remember, thinking that it's like, wow, this is really funny. We have a skeleton crew. And God said, no, you have exactly what I planned. You have everything you need. So it's not going to be like, wow, where is everybody? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You're supposed to be here, and you're here, and that's what matters. And what is even better, the Holy Spirit is here. So that is all we need. Amen? That is all we need. I woke up to, before my alarm, not on purpose, to my phone buzzing, telling me I can't be there today. And I'm like, huh? What? And so that's not the only one. There were two of those. And it's like, okay. So I didn't study. Mercedes was going to take it today. And I'm just like, I did study earlier, like a week ago. I've been dealing with pneumonia, so I haven't felt great. And dealing with it, it's going. I'm not going to keep that garbage. And so I'm just like, okay, it's me and you, God. Holy Spirit, he knows what he's doing. I already know this. I did study, but not in the last few days. And so it's like, okay, well, he knows what he's doing, right? He knows his word. He'll bring it out somehow. I just have to be obedient and be ready for it. So this is what I did this morning. I get up and I go, I'm going to tell myself, it's like, God, I need your help today. And then I'm like, I didn't even say good morning to the Heavenly Father. I just put a demand on him. How many times do we do that? Because this is on top of me, and I need your help, and there, thank you, it's over. And it's like, oh, I'm so sorry. We should never start our day that way. We should always greet the Heavenly Father and welcome him into our day, into our morning, into everything that we have going that day. Say, be Lord of my life today. Be Lord of my decisions. Be Lord of everything that I have going on today. And it doesn't always happen that way because, you know, life happens and we get anxious and things surprise you. Things shouldn't surprise us, though, enough that it takes us away from honoring God. So I wanted to share that with you because maybe it'll help somebody. It helped me today. You know, years ago, and it has been a long time, I think Mark was, so what is Mark now? He's 42. Don't tell him I told you. Okay. And he was a little kid. He was just a baby when we started. I was pregnant, actually, when we started. And he was little, and we started in this little tiny building. Some of you were there at 15th and Hickory. Some of you were there. You remember how little it was. But we were so proud of that place. And so me and two of the other ladies decided that we should, more them than me, because I didn't like to talk in front of people. And we decided that we should have a Bible study every Tuesday, or I think it was Tuesday, something like that. And I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. And I was just fretting and worrying. I got so anxious trying to study, you know, because it's cold turkey. I hadn't really studied to preach before. And I was making James and Mark's bed. And the Holy Spirit said, what are you worried about? It's not you, it's me speaking. Oh, wow, did that set me free that day. It's like, as long as we count on him, we don't get our flesh in the way. He is there. Isn't that awesome? And that helped me. That helped me this morning, too, because I was reminded of that. It's like, okay, we got this. We all got this today, right? All we need is the Holy Spirit He is the teacher. He leads and guides us in all the truth. He speaks to us. He brings up things that we've known before years ago. He brings those up to our remembrance. I asked him for that today. So I know it's going to be good, even though the devil's trying to be a turkey, which he's really good at that. He doesn't win, though, right? He doesn't get to win. We're going to kick him all over the place today. Okay. I'm trying to remember. I wrote something down, but I don't. Sometimes I can't read my own writing if I get excited here. It'll be all right. So good morning. Good morning, people online. We're glad you're joining us today. We're happy you're with us. Hope you enjoy the service and all my beautiful people here. Hope you enjoy it today, too. Thank you for coming to, and sitting here and listening to me. And I pray, let's pray, okay? Father, I thank you for your word that you have already had a plan for this years and years and years ago. You already put this in motion. And you had this day completely planned out. And I thank you, Father, for that. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with us. I pray that our ears and our eyes be open, that we will get revelation knowledge today. And you will speak through me, and you will speak to your people. You will cause thinking to change, and you will cause healings to come, and you will cause breakthroughs in the mighty name of Jesus. That things that have held us back for years and years will not ever touch us again, in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you excited? I'm pretty excited. So I was going to start, and it is in there, teaching about speaking on healing, because that's where I've been living the last month. And he does what he does. He changed it. It is in there. So years ago, I spoke about grace and faith. And grace was always one of those areas that I didn't quite get. I didn't understand. And it's like, it's all over the Bible. It's like, grace and peace be multiplied to you. It's like, well, I know what peace is, but what is grace? I don't know what that is. And so years ago, not that long ago, maybe 15 years ago, we studied grace and faith at our Tuesday morning Bible studies. And I tell you what, it set me free. It changed the way I think. It changed the way I believe. It made it solidified so much in me, and I'm believing for that for you today. It's one of the most powerful messages I've ever heard. So we're going to start in Ephesians, and I'm trying to decide where to start. Ephesians 2. I think this is a good one to start. Verse 4 through... Well, I don't know where, so we'll just find out as we go. So start in verse 4, but God, have you heard a lot of people say that? It's like, all this is happening, all this bad stuff, but God. That is a really good thing to say. God has the answer for everything. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ. By grace you are saved. He quickened us while we were still dead in our sins. We didn't even know him. How interesting. How loving of a father to do that. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So he made us sit with him. So we're sitting with Jesus right now. Sometimes that doesn't feel like it, but that's what the word says, so that's what it is. We are sitting with him. And let's see. Sitting with him is to take a seat or take company with. That's what that meant. So we are in his company. Isn't that amazing? We just need to be aware. That's the deal. He roused us from death. He quickened us. He revivified us spiritually. He raised us up together with him. Praise God. in verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. We are saved through faith by grace. It is a massive gift. It's the biggest gift, but he's given us so many that we could be called his. We could be sitting with him in heavenly places. And we are saved through faith. We are delivered. This is what saved means. We are delivered, protected, healed, preserved, made whole. That's what that means, saved. There's a lot in that word, right? There's tons in that word. And it is a gift of God. It is a present. It's a sacrifice. It's an offering. We all know about the offering that Jesus gave for us. It is the biggest gift. Like, if you could think of the biggest package that has the most important present, that's what that is. It is his huge gift. Not of works, verse 9, lest any man should boast. Works is just to work, to toil, to occupation. It is labor, it's work. It's just a lot of people think that if they don't do it right, if they don't work it hard enough, it's not going to work. Well, that Bible doesn't say that. That means that we are trying to get it with our own merit, and we can't. It isn't possible at all. He made it possible. He's already done it years ago at the cross. It's not dependent on anything that we have done. It's not works. We couldn't do anything enough. We couldn't be good enough. We couldn't pray enough. We couldn't read enough. We couldn't reach out to people enough. We couldn't heal people enough. We couldn't do anything enough. Because it's not us, it's him. It's not our works. Doesn't that make you feel better? Sure made me feel better. We had this guy, in the very beginning, he was around the church quite a bit. I won't say his name. I don't think any of you would remember him. And he was just interesting. He would talk about how many hours a day he would pray. Sometimes 12. It's like, really? I don't know if I believe you, but I don't have anything to go by. And he would say that. He prays 12. How many hours do you pray? It's like, well, not 12. That's a lot. But you know, it's not just sitting down and praying either. It is sitting down and praying. It is spending time alone, getting by yourself and praying with God, praying to God. But it's also what you meditate on. It's not just talking. It sometimes is this sitting still and just listening and waiting for God, waiting for your answer. And I mean, so maybe it does add up to more than 12 hours. I think the more we are used to hanging out with God, because prayer is hanging out with him, I think the more we want to and the more we do. And don't even really realize it's like, well, I'm not sitting there with my hands folded and I'm not on my knees and I'm not, you know. But you don't have to do that all the time. There is time and place. But to think about God, don't you think about him like many, many, many times during the day? Don't you call on him? It's like, okay, this thing, I need your help with this thing. And that's praying. It doesn't sound very religious. It's not supposed to, right? It's not supposed to sound religious. It's not supposed to be all these great big words and these and thous and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's not supposed to be like that. We just talk. I don't talk like that to any of you all. You know, do you? If thou sayest this, you know, it's like, blah. Can you speak English? Please. Please speak English. Does that help anybody? We could never do enough, ever, because it's not contingent upon us or what we do. It's on him. It's not contingent upon how many hours we put in. how many chapters we read a day. It's what is our quality time with him, and it is us believing that he loves us and that he's already done it. That changed my life so much, because I grew up in a denomination, and there was a lot of works, and there was a lot of do's and don'ts and stuff, and it's like some of them are like, seriously, you can't do that? Okay, well, I don't really care. I'm going to do it anyway, you know. But when you have a relationship with God, it changes your want-tos. I know I'm getting way ahead of myself. It changes your want-tos. I've heard people, when you talk about grace, they say you're just giving people a license to sin. Did you need a license to sin before you got born again? I didn't. It's your nature. It's just there. It's not a license. It's just in you. It's something that you were, you know, thank you, Adam and Eve. That's where all that came from. It changed everything. And Jesus changed it. He reconciled us back to God. How awesome is that? I apologize for my voice. I can hear I'm a little raspy, but it's okay. I'm not coughing, so that's okay. I want to read this if I can remember where I wrote it down. The Holy Spirit was telling me this morning. Grace isn't based on what we've done or how good we are. It's all based on how good he is. So we goof up. And it's like, well, he's not going to answer that prayer, and I really need that one answered. No. He's already covered everything. He has covered it. Repent. That means turn from your ways. That's what that means. Don't do it again. We do stuff again. Just repent. Every sin that we've ever done that was ever on our chart has been erased by the blood of Jesus. It's all gone. He paid for every single one. And I was confused with this as a kid. It's like, well, if he did it thousands of years ago, but I'm still sinning and I still, you know, do things wrong and, you know, be mean to people. I never really was mean to people, but maybe my sister. Maybe my brother a little bit. But even that was covered, you know? The blood of Jesus was covered it. And I thought, so I ask him to forgive me. I ask him into my heart. And then I sinned again. It's like, oh, I got to do it all over again. No. You repent. And you turn away from it. And you listen to the Holy Spirit. When he prompts, and he does. He prompts you. Like, don't do it. Don't say it. Stop. Stop talking. He told Jim that one day. Stop talking. Probably more than once told me that too. It's like, you don't need to say that. You don't need to defend yourself. You don't need to. You don't need to tell somebody off and say, well, I just had to say it. I've had so many people say stuff like that. And it's like, did you? You had to give yourself to the Lord, to the Holy Ghost. I see some of you smiling, so I hit a nerve, I think. But we get, you know, we get hung up on that, well, I still sin, so I must not be born again. I goofed up too much. No, repent. That's all you got to do. You can never be good enough, but he is good enough. You could never, if we could have, then why did Jesus have to come? If we could have done it on our own works, why did he have to come? Because there's no way we could have. You know, I heard this preacher a few days ago, and he was talking about all the rules and regulations in the Old Testament. Do you know how many there are? Not just the Ten Commandments. Do you know how many? 6,000 or more. Golly, that's too many to read, you know? And that's why the law was brought in. was to show people that they need a Savior, to show them that they are sinning. That's why the law was brought in. And then you know what Jesus did? He abolished the law and the curse that was on it, removed it 100%, so we don't have to live that way. Could you imagine having to do, I don't even know how many sacrifices and 6,000 rules and regulations about eating, about this, about that, and it's like, how can you remember all that? You can't. I certainly can't. But we don't have to. We just rely on him. He took care of it. He erased it. It's gone. The scripture, I think it's Colossians. I didn't write this one down. The handwriting that was against us on the wall that the devil wrote and probably just went up. I don't know how that works. But when we accepted Jesus as our Lord, when he accepted the price he paid, it got completely washed away. There's nothing there. Isn't that cool? I love that. The devil really likes to tell us that we're awful and stuff. Just tell him how awful he is. He doesn't have any hope. There's nothing for him. There's no way to get away from it at all. All right, I'm going to see if I'm going to go back. I don't think so. Okay. There's some different beliefs out there about grace. You've heard them, I'm sure. The one about it gives people a license. Actually, what it really does, it makes you want to live better. That's what I've found out. I'm not looking to get a free pass so I can go sin and then, you know, why? Why would I do that? Because the word says we are free from sin. It is removed. So why would we want to keep doing that? It just makes us closer to God, knowing about his grace. That's what I believe. I've heard others say that too. There are people that emphasize grace, that it really doesn't matter what you do. They just, you can just get away with it because of the grace. Have you ever heard people say, just getting by on the grace of God? Have you heard that? Are they? Well, we all are. But it's not for that purpose. It is for us to live righteous. That's what it's for. It draws us closer to the Savior. And there's a group, that's the group that says everything is totally up to God. Everything is determined by the sovereignty of God. It's whatever he chooses. Many people have emphasized that everything is just up to God, to the exclusion of the truth that we have a part to play in what he does. And so the people who believe that, it just makes you not even try. You don't do anything. You just are passive. Because why should we? We don't have to. Everything's up to him anyway. No, he put us here with a mouth to speak and to fight and to say no and to kick the devil, right? To bind him, to move forward. If we just let everything happen, you know, he gets blamed for everything that happens, like tornadoes and natural disasters and stuff. He doesn't have anything to do with those. The Bible says he came to bring life and life more abundantly. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. It's a pretty definite line there. Anything that kills and destroys, like fires and floods and hurricanes and garbage like that, that's not God. Does that promote life? And more abundantly, it doesn't. And then there's another group, there's several groups, but there's another one that they emphasize faith, what we do, which was what I was a part of. I didn't understand what was going on. This is why this grace teaching really helped me. They say you have to do it, you have to work it. If you didn't work it, then you didn't work it enough. I heard people that were sort of friends say to people, well, the reason that you're sick is because you've got sin in your life. Maybe you got disobedience, but does God put a stipulation on how you get healed and why, or if you can? Does he? I never found that in the Bible. He never did. When the multitudes came to him, he healed them all. You think they all were perfect? Sinless? Some of them weren't even saved, you know? They were just there because they wanted help. And he healed them all. That's how good our God is. So it's not up to us. Faith is not something that we do to get God to move. And I've been taught that years ago. You have to have enough faith. If it's not working, you don't have enough faith. It's like, well, shoot, how do you get more faith? Well, the Bible does say faith comes by hearing, and it does. And hearing by the word of God, it does. But to put this kind of pressure on us, doesn't it make you just give up? It just makes you like, oh, I can't do it, so I guess, you know. It just makes you give up. It's not based on that. Grace is unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor of God. We didn't deserve it. We were still in our sin. Remember the first scripture we read? Or one of the first? He did it anyway. He made us sit with him in heaven. And we weren't right. He made us right. Praise God. You guys okay with this? Grace is what God already did. It is in the past. He did it. It's not, I mean, it's still, grace still works. But when he got finished with it, I mean, with everything, and when Jesus died on the cross, he said, it's finished. Everything was finished. Now it's up to us to put it into practice, to put our words to it. Put our feet to it, our hands to it. Not that we can do anything without him, not saying that at all. But we have him on our side, and he's already done it. Hallelujah. And if it was only grace, then everybody would be saved. It's not just only grace. And if it's all faith, it would be based on works. And that is a split down the middle. It takes both. It really takes both. Galatians 2:16. We doing okay? I'm trying to watch the clock. Know that a man is not justified. Justified means to be just or innocent or free. That's what that means. So know that a man is not free. He's not innocent. He's not justified observing the law. But by faith in Jesus Christ, so we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. It doesn't have the power to justify you. It just has the power to tell you where you messed up, right? And make you feel crappy. It's like, wow, I did everything wrong today. We don't have to feel bad every day if we goof up. Everybody goofs up. But we pick yourself back up, get off the ground, and go at it again. Do it again. And look to God every single time. Let's see. Okay, let's go to chapter 3. It's Galatians still. Verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. I think this is really a fun scripture. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? That's a pretty good question. Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Pretty definite answer there. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Those who believe are children of Abraham. Father Abraham, let's drop down a little bit to verse 10. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. So we're made righteous. We live by faith. We're under grace. Everything works through grace and faith. Christ, verse 13, this is, I gave you this, but here it is. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on a tree. And we all know Jesus hung on the tree for us. So he broke the curse of the law that hung over our head that we couldn't do. Nobody could do that. 6,000 things that you had to keep. I don't know if you could write a book big enough for that. That's pretty big. And then find it on the page, you know. Like, yeah. Wait a minute, I know you're not supposed to do that. It's somewhere in here. And they didn't have pages, they had scrolls, so that'd be extra hard, right? He redeemed us from the law in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. That's why he redeemed us. So the blessing would be that was given to Abraham would come to us, the Gentiles. Because it was all for the Jews and stuff. But he made a way for all the rest of us. Isn't that amazing? Because he loves us so much. He loves us so, so much. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. He has already provided salvation to all men, but yet not all men are saved. What's the missing piece? They don't believe it. They haven't heard it. But Titus said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So somehow, some way, whether it be in a dream or somebody telling them, it says it has appeared. So there's still hope, right? There's still a chance. Reminds me of a crazy movie, but I'm not going to talk about it. So you're saying there's still a chance? Yeah, no, not for you. Oh, boy. Okay. So God's grace is the same to everyone because it's not based on or tied to what we have done or what we will do. It's the same to everyone. Everyone. And isn't that amazing? Our performance doesn't earn it. Sometimes I wish it did, but no, I don't. I don't. I'm glad it doesn't. I'm really glad it doesn't. In the moment that we begin relating God's blessing to anything that we've done, we void grace. If we say, it's because I did such a good job with this, you void grace. Because it isn't because of us, it's because of him. The goodness of God is because of that. Believing is the key and always has been. Acts 16, I believe, 16. 30 and 31, he then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I believe this was in the prison, I think. They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Believe, that's the only thing. It's like, well, you have to read your Bible a lot and you have to pray 12 hours a day and you have to give money to the poor and you have to do all these, you have to fulfill all this and then you got it. He didn't say that, did he? All it is believing. It's that throughout the whole New Testament, believe him. It's not what we do. It can never be what we do, because then we've already failed. And we fail every day, somewhere or another. But believing, believe God, call on God all the time. For anything, I'm not perfect at this. I'm not saying I am, but I ask him about everything. And I know I've said this, and I said this to Jim for years, because it's worked for me for a long time, because my hair is disobedient sometimes. For real, girls, right? And so I would, especially on Sunday, why? It'd be perfect during the week. And then here comes Sunday, it's like, what the heck? What happened? It's the same hair. I curl it the same way. Why is it sticking out and doing not, whatever it does? And so I started asking the Holy Spirit, help me with my hair, because I don't have extra time on Sunday morning. And you know what? Every time I didn't forget, it always turned out the way it was supposed to without any extra effort. It would be just be like, oh, okay. I tell you, it works. You know why it works? Because he is concerned with everything that concerns us. Everything, no matter how big or small. And Jim would tell me, he goes, he doesn't care about your hair. I'm like, he cares about mine. Maybe he doesn't care about yours, but he cares about mine. It's working for me, so. Oh, man. And I mean, these are silly things, but not really when you're in a, Sunday mornings are hard sometimes, right? Like, what am I going to wear? What am I going to put on? I have nothing in my closet. That's not true, but it's nothing that I want to wear is more like it. Oh, my goodness. But I'll ask him. I was like, okay, I'll walk in there. I'll go, okay, Holy Spirit, I have no clue. Make it stand out to me. And I'll look, and I'll walk back out and go back in, and then something will stand out. I was like, just giving you some of my tricks. It's really not a trick, but it works. Many times. And sometimes I lose stuff, my phone especially. But anybody? I've talked on my phone, and it's like, I got to find my phone. Talking on my phone. Feel like a goofball. But I'll ask him and said, okay, I can't find it. I don't know where I put it. It should be here in plain sight. It isn't. So help me to find it. And it won't be long, and it'll be there. I'll find it in the weirdest place. Mm-hmm. See? It's not just for girls. But I use that all the time, and I ask the angels to go find it, make it visible, bring it out of the dark, because sometimes, and I don't know, my phone is a goof. It doesn't ring half the time. Well, probably 3/4 of the time. I don't know why. And Mark has tried to help me, and Mercedes has tried to help me, and Mike, he gives up on me with that, because I don't blame him, but... And it still doesn't ring. Like, what in the world? Then it rings at the most inopportune time. So I don't know. So I lose it all the time. And then it's like, call yourself. It doesn't ring. So what good is that to? But the Holy Spirit always shows me where it is, always. Sometimes it takes a little longer, but it still happens. I know that's probably a little funny, but there's other things you can ask the Holy Spirit to help you with. Not just the word, because he loves us, and he's here to help us. And he will help you find things. I've missed so many misplaced things, and I try not to do that, but it happens. And I always find it. Always. Always, always. I remember years ago, and Bill German was an angel that day, we were having a really big clapping time in the old sanctuary, the big one, and it was pitch dark in there when the lights were off. And I looked at my ring and my diamond was out. It was gone. I was like, man, it must have fallen out during the clapping. That ever happened to anybody? That happened to me twice. And Bill went down there in the dark with a flashlight, and he found it because it was glistening in the light. And he found it like immediately. It's like, so that day he was an angel. Many times Bill has been an angel to help. But, you know, the Holy Spirit will give you ideas. He will. And I started to say this at the beginning, but when you, because something you said sparked it, Tony. When you are believing for something, don't stop. Just because it takes longer than you had hoped, don't stop. If God put it on your heart, then he will take care of it. And there's his timing, and he would want vision. And sometimes you may have to wait longer than humanly we would want to. But God's never late, right? He's never late. So don't stop believing, because what if it happens tomorrow and you quit? Well, I'm done with that. That was not the Holy Spirit. That was pizza. And it's like, don't quit, because if God puts something, and you can usually tell. Sometimes you have it wrong, but you can usually tell. Make sure it lines up with the word. But you can usually tell. It's just a different, it's hard to describe. It's a stronger desire. It's a stronger desire. So don't quit and just keep asking God about it. Say, is that still you want? Was this you? And don't quit. Because that big property, it's coming. Mm-hmm. Somebody's believing for a house. It's coming. Don't stop believing. Doesn't mean you have to have the money for it. God doesn't say that. I've heard so many people get cars and homes. And, you know, Mercedes talks about Shuttlesworth a lot. If you've never heard him, you need to. He is a spitfire. He's fantastic. Somebody gave him how many church buildings? Two, I think. Two, an airplane, and a house. With no money down, he hits free. And it just comes to him. God spoke that to him, and he's just like, okay, he believe it. When God tells you something, believe it. Don't get off of it. Alrighty. So the Holy Spirit, you know, people, I don't think this is a side note, people kind of think this sometimes that you've done too much, that God's mad at you. You've done way too much. You've broken the law. You've stolen. You've killed somebody or anything like that, which none of that is good. But so I was talking to somebody about a year ago, and he said, I've just done too much. God really is mad at me. And I'm like, I got a scripture for you. The only sin that keeps you from God is not believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is in John 16, 8 and 9. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. And that is the only thing. Are we doing good? So I want you to think about things that you have been believing for. Maybe things that have taken a lot longer than you had hoped for. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a car. Maybe it's a child that needs to come back to the Lord. Maybe it's a husband or a wife. you put it in there, whatever, and I want you to think about that and meditate on that and ask God, is that still, I mean, did I hear that from you? Is that still supposed to happen? I'm working on a couple things. I'm not going to tell you what they are either. But working on a couple things, and I will eventually tell you, probably. But it's like, so what do you do when you're waiting? What do you do? The Bible says stand. Stand, therefore. Don't change what you say. Don't stop quoting the scripture that you should have to stand on, or scriptures. It's really good to have the word. Put it on, write it out or type it out and put it on your mirror. Put it in your car. Put it somewhere where you're going to see it. Put it in the fridge. Some people like to do that. I don't do that, but put it somewhere where you open a lot or where you look at a lot. Your makeup bag. I only do that once a day, but that still would be a good place. I haven't thought of that until just now. Put it where you're going to see it. Put it on the mirror is a good place. Have healing scriptures that we have. I don't know if we still do, but if we do, grab them. I don't know if we do. Anybody know? Do we still have some in the booth? I don't know. If we don't, we'll get some more. But there's some, you know, they were on Jim's Vanity, and he read them every day. They're right there, stuck in the light switch where they wouldn't fall. And he read them every day. And that's what you got to do, is keep the word in front of your face. Keep it before your eyes. And that encourages you. It also keeps that dream that you have alive. It's like, I know it doesn't look like it, but this is what God said. So keep it there. Do that. If it's for healing, if it's for whatever it is that you're believing for. You getting some ideas? Good. Good, good, good. I am too. Okay, so about healing, I was going to tell you how you stand, right? Well, that's part of it. One of the best, there's a lot of really good healing scriptures, and there's some healing scripture tapes. If you're fighting something, play it, continue. Keep it going so you keep hearing it. Or whatever it is, it's financial. There's a whole bunch of them out there. Make sure you get a good one, though. And just play it. When Jim was in the hospital, I'm not telling on him. This is not a surprise. He wasn't very good at working stuff, you know, like electronics, even tape players. He wasn't even anything like that. So we have this cassette. Is it a cassette? Yeah, I think it was a cassette. It might have been a tape. I think it was a cassette. And it had buttons, but he couldn't tell which button to push, so he was pushing, you know, random buttons. And so all I had there was a Band-Aid, and I cut it in an arrow, and I pointed it at the button that he's supposed to turn. And it worked. Then he knew what to do. He goes, thanks, that makes all the difference. I'm like, I know. The volume button I should have marked too, but I didn't want to confuse him. Now, which arrow was this before? But, you know, you do what you got to do to help people or help yourself to remember. And that really worked. I had trouble seeing it because the print is like, who could see that? But it worked, it worked. And he listened to it even when I wasn't there, because otherwise I would turn it on and, you know, they don't continue play. So it would go off. And if I did that, then he could still turn it on. Or literally he would get somebody to do it for him. The nurses he would have. Would you push that button? Okay. Yeah. All right. So let's see. I'm just thinking here. I've already read several of these. I don't want to go too long for you guys. Okay. This is Well, there's just too many to pick from. Listen to Romans 2:11. There is no respect of persons with God. There's no partiality. There's nothing like he doesn't like you better. He doesn't like you less. He loves us all so much. So much. He's not mad at us. Have you ever been taught that? I was kind of taught that, and then I had a friend that was Catholic, and she goes, I just think God's really mad at me. He's up there with a baseball bat. And I'm like, well, if that were true, nobody would believe in him if he was mean like that, but he's not. But, you know, religion is really fun sometimes. But that's what she believed, and she was scared of God. But we don't have to be, right? Because we know he loves us. He loves us so much. And there's nothing that we can ever do to make him love us anymore. He might like us more if we follow his word better, but he's not ever going to stop. Because if he would, I mean, if he did, then he wouldn't have come and save us while we were still dead in our sins, while we didn't even know him. So that's one of the biggest loves I've ever heard of. I mean, to do that for people who hate you and don't even know you. We serve an amazing God, don't we? Very loving God. A wonderful, faithful God. So let's look at Ephesians 2:3. I've got to go back. I don't think I read this. I think this is important, then we'll probably be done. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So the conversation here in the Strong's meant to busy oneself. So we were busy being terrible people. And we the way we talked and everything, the way we lived, everything was messed up. Because it was in the lust of our flesh. And we were fulfilling the desires, our choices is what that means. Our choices are so vital. Choices of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature, let me read that because I think that's really, really interesting. Nature here, like you probably already know this, but it's natural production, lineal descent. We were born that way. The nature that was in us, we were born that way. So a lot of it, you know how a baby is born and they throw fits and stuff? Who taught them to do that? It's just in them. It's just there. And that's why we have to be good parents and guide them around and tell them it's wrong. But it wasn't our fault, right? And that's why Jesus came to help us. And you know what? The choices, the devil himself can't make us do anything. Haven't you heard that? The devil made me do it. You heard that? It used to be a saying years ago. He can't make us do anything without our consent or our cooperation. He can't. We give in or we fall apart, but he can't. He can't. Isn't that good news? I think that's great. That's why we're supposed to resist him and fight him and turn ourselves to God, submit ourselves to God. Thinking that God controls everything, and a lot of people think this way, God's in control, God's in control. I've heard that so many times, God's in control. If he isn't, and he is, but he gave us the authority to control. He's already done everything. We've got the authority to make things happen. Amen? So thinking that God controls everything and nothing happens without his permission really kills our faith. Because if it's him, if he did it, why would we fight it? Right? Why would we fight something that we believe God made happen? I've heard, and you have too, that car wreck, God was trying to teach him something. He took their child because they needed to learn something. Baloney. I know Jim has said this a lot, but if my dad, who is an imperfect man, like all of we are, was going to give me a car wreck or break my leg or do something like that, he doesn't love me. Our Heavenly Father loves us so much. He doesn't do things like that. He teaches us, the Bible says, with the Holy Spirit. He teaches us that way. So listen, there's a still small voice all the time if we will just listen. And he will guide us. Why don't you turn right here? I never go that direction. Well, let's do it today. Okay. And then you find out it was a huge wreck. That happens. Or somebody jumped out in the street and got hit by a car. You don't want to be the one that hits, somebody by a car. Or with your car, listen to that inner voice, because it's there. It's there to lead us and help us. That we were heading somewhere, I think, to Kansas City, because Mark was playing whatever he played at that point, basketball. And he got really sick, so we're going to pick him up, blah, blah, blah. He was little, like 10 or, I don't know, something like that. And for some reason, we had to stop, and I don't recall because this was, a very long time ago. And then we get back on the road, and we had missed a big semi crash. The highway was lit up. It wasn't that way. I think we probably had to get gas, or somebody had to go to the bathroom or something. And we would have been right in the middle of it. But God protects us if we will just pay attention. So even if it doesn't make sense sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't, like I'm in a hurry, I'm running late, I will be late if I take a different route. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll be more on time if you listen. It's so cool the way God does that. Okay. Last one. I gave you the scripture already. Well, I'll give you two. How about that? Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's what he wants for us. Hope and a future. To prosper us. Not harm us. Not at all. To prosper us. Hope and a future. That's our good God. Amen. God that loves us so much. And 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, and that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came. He was fed up with the devil hurting us, hurting mankind. And he came to destroy it. And he did it. He finished it. The dude doesn't even have keys to his own gate. Probably doesn't even have a gate anymore. It's probably been ripped off the hinges. He doesn't have anything. All of his authority, all of his power, only thing he could do is yak and get you to listen to all of his lies. But you know what? Now we know. I know this isn't news to most of you. Now we know that he's a big fat liar. So if anything never lines up with the word of God, then you know it is not from God. It is from Satan. So fight him and send his tail running. Amen? I would like to offer prayer if anybody wants some agreement. Prayer over their bodies or anything else. It could be something else. Or if you just would like to just spend some quiet time and just get your mind settled down with God. And maybe it's already there right now. Is there anyone that would like prayer? Any agreement prayer? If you do, you can come down here. Or we could play. What could we play? Let's play. Blank. What? We could play Goodbye Yesterday. Can we do that? Good song. And just use that as a prayer to God that all of the past, all of the garbage that has been there, goodbye. Ill finished. No more. How about that? So let's do that, and then I'm going to pray over you before you leave because I won't get to see most of you after, you know, during the song. But I speak protection over you in the name of Jesus. I speak one of the best weeks you've ever had. Healing, protection, safety, prosperity in Jesus' name. And that you will come to know the love of God in a bigger, stronger way in Jesus' mighty name. Let's play that if we are you ready?
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com, and we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.